Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, and welcome to Everything is Fine, a podcast for women over 40. We are your hosts. I'm Kim France.
And I'm Jen Romolini.
And today should be an interesting experiment.
Neither of us has anything to talk about. I didn't come up with a list and neither did you. It's like world's most unprofessional podcast. Sorry, everyone. Hi. I mean, in my defense, I am in like the most uncomfortable for me pinball machine, ping pong game of like self-promotion and promoting this book. And like, it's coming out in like a month. I think when this, like five weeks it's coming out. And it's just like, I guess a person who understands how to do admin could handle this situation. Not me. I was just telling you that I've had like two laptops going at one time. Like I'm like some important like air traffic controller. I'm like, I can do your podcast. I can write your essay. I can make a Substack. I'm losing my fucking mind.
I know, but it's all so good. If people didn't give a shit, nobody would be getting in touch with you. If nobody liked the book, you'd be refreshing your inbox every 10 minutes.
Oh, absolutely. And like what I just burst into tears before we got on about was, how can I be so upset about something that's so good? And it's just because this isn't why I write, to be like, hey, look at me.
Yeah, you know, it's a funny thing. When I was at Lucky, I had, you know, I always thought I was somebody who enjoyed attention, you know?
Yes.
And then when I got a big job and the magazine had, you know, and there were publicists assigned to me and things I was expected to go out and do, and attention that I got, I hated it.
Yes. Yes, I remember. And I remember thinking, and it's so funny because this is the kind of stuff we're supposed to be grateful for. And like, let me acknowledge my privilege in this situation, like fully, like I'm so grateful for this. Like, please don't send me letters. But I remember thinking in the moment, like, I remember looking at you and being like, why doesn't she enjoy this? This looks amazing. This is so amazing. She doesn't want to go to a fashion show. How cool. And like, as I've gotten older and had more success, I realized like the attention I want is I want everyone to laugh at a story I tell at a dinner party. You know, like yeah. I want to tell a really funny story and tell it very well. And I want to get the attention of the people I love, right? and like, or just like, that's enough for me. Like 12 people, that's the best.
Yeah.
Beyond that, it's like, oh God, I just feel like skinless, you know, it's just a discomfort. And like, I got to get over it. That's the bottom line.
No, you have to ride it, not fight it. That's my new motto for you.
I know you said that to me and I was like, God, that's so good. That was such a nice thing for you to say. Thank you for that. But anyway, yeah, my book comes out in 5 weeks. We are coming to New York. We will be, and we haven't announced this yet, but let's announce it now. We are going to be doing an event on, oh shit, let me find the date.
I believe the 17th, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, of course. Cause we only do events on holidays. It's Father's Day. We're doing a live Everything is Fine to talk about menopause on Father's Day, which is just perfect. No, it's the 16th. It's the 16th.
Oh, okay.
It's the 16th. Yes, we will be, hopefully, I think we're going to be at Caveat again. So, and we'll be posting, I don't know, links to get tickets soon. Hopefully, if I get my shit together, if one of us gets our shit together to do it. How are you doing? What's going on with you?
Well, you know, Jen, I've been a little depressed.
Mm, I'm sorry.
It's weird. It's really weird. It's been a long time since this has happened, or at least a while.
Yeah.
It's not terrible. It's not like the most depressed I've ever been.
Yeah.
But it's that like, it's like that feeling when you're like, oh yeah, this again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like this fucking feeling. And you know, that, you know, the difference between, you know, I was trying to explain to my mother yesterday, the difference between being unhappy and being depressed.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think it is?
Well, when you're unhappy, there's usually a reason for it. Like something happened. It bummed you out. Now you're unhappy.
Yeah.
Being depressed doesn't always need a trigger.
Yeah. It just comes like a wave.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not so bad that like, you know, I'll be a little bummed out. Then I'll get on the phone or call and I'll feel better.
Yeah.
You know, like things will lift me out of it. So I'm not too worried and I'm not too worried about it, but it's been a weird thing. It really slows you down.
Yeah. How do you deal? I mean, I know you just wrote a whole post about this, but in case anybody didn't see that, like, how do you deal when you're in a funk?
I try to be super nice to myself. I try to stick to a schedule, which is something I didn't put in the piece, but I should have. Like, now is the time you get out of bed. I mean, you know, having dogs is the best thing for depression because it just, it means that two or three times a day you're leaving the house.
Yes, yes, yes.
So that's really good. I try to do that. I try to force myself to work, which is really hard.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I take a lot of breaks to lay down on the sofa and hug my pillow until I feel better. You know, I do think I have to start, you know, now I've talked about it so much on this podcast. I need to walk over to the gym that just opened two blocks away from me and join it. I need to join the fucking gym. I hate the gym, but I need to go to a gym.
I know. I know. I need more cardio exercise. I fucking know. I went and got a massage yesterday. Look at me talking about all the gross things I do. I belong to this this cheap massage club. Like you can get one cheap massage a month if you sign up, whatever, massage of the month club. And I went in and the guy was like, I don't know about this shoulder. It's like, me neither, dude. And he was like, I think you have like calcium deposits or something in your shoulder. Like you need to start getting physical therapy to work this shoulder out or this is going to get worse. And you could possibly like lose movement in your arm because already I can tell your circulation is off because your fingers are cold when the rest of your body is warm, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, like another thing to add to the list. Like, of course I have to get physical therapy for these old ass bones. They click all the time.
Yeah, I know. And I have been like my kind of valid excuse for not working out is that my knee bugs me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I know the minute I start working out, it's going to bug me, but there is a solution for that. And it is physical therapy. There are physical therapists waiting to help me.
If only in life I could be consistent. If I only had, like, instead of all of my bad habits, if I only had the habit, like one of those things that just makes you extra consistent, like compulsively consistent, like I must do this every day. I don't have it. I just like, I have the kind of brain that just wants to float away. Just like, could we float over here today? How about we float over here? What about this?
That is so funny for me to hear you say, because I don't think of you as an inconsistent person. I think of you as a person who gets up. I mean, yeah, I meditate, you know, maybe you meditate some days, you meditate for a week, then you don't meditate. I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But you get up every day and work like a motherfucker.
That is true. That is true. But that I think is out of fear. I think that is out of fear because I'm afraid of what my brain would be without work. Like, I'm afraid of my own brain. I was talking to my mother about this the other day, which is a really weird thing. We'd never kind of had this conversation. My grandmother was severely, severely depressed. She had real, very, very serious mental health issues. And my mother, in reaction to that, and she was a single, my grandmother was a single mom. So my mom had to really take care of this woman who was always in depression. And in reaction to that, my mother became a hyper competent person who is, like, you know, wiping down countertops at 1 a.m. She mm-hmm. never stops. And so what happened was, to me, was my mom was so afraid. I was very soft like my grandmother and very, very emotional like my grandmother. And what happened was my mother was like, absolutely intolerant of any of that, like so afraid that was going to happen to me. So she just taught me to be productive. And that is what I think I entirely do. That is how I self-medicate, is with productivity. Like, when I start getting down, I'm like, I should fix this door. Like, I'm crazy, but I'm inconsistent.
But that was a gift she gave you, in a way. I mean, her intolerance of your unhappiness is another thing, but to have you turn it into something productive?
No, I think that it was a gift, but I think at the same time, there's a little bit of me that's like afraid of myself and afraid of like my real feelings. Like, whereas I think that you really know all of that in yourself, where I will like feel that and I'll feel so uncomfortable if I start getting like down, or if I start getting like, I just can't do it. I'm never resting, really. So whatever. Maybe she gave me a gift. Who knows? It's a fucking blue collar working class, half a dozen of another. I don't fucking know.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, a gift is maybe a strong word, but she gave you a tool. She gave you a tool.
That's true. She did give me a tool, and they are both like that, because I think that both of my parents are really complicated people with some mental health and neurodivergence, and because that's what they came from. And they just, my dad will feel depressed and he'll just go clean out the shed, you know?
Like, yeah.
You know, they don't allow it to happen. And I think that is a real working class doctrine. And it is just, I mean, it's no one in my life in New York or any of my friends at this point have that, but everybody I grew up with does.
No, I mean, in my upper middle class childhood, it was like, oh, darling, Kim seems down. Do we need to call a new therapist for her?
Exactly.
Is it time for a special tutor? It was always farmed out, you know?
Yes. Yeah. No. And I could see that even with my own kid and their own mental health. Like, I can see that they're getting a half and half. They're getting half of this like blue collar pragmatism, which, you know, I don't know how helpful it is. Like, you know, I was telling you that I'm just like, you need to love yourself. And I'm like, you can't yell at somebody, you need to love yourself. That doesn't fucking help. But also like the farming out too.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can get very resentful of the fact that all of my issues were farmed out.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever.
Did they talk to you about your feelings, though? Did they sit you down and say, how are you feeling? Was there any of that?
No, there wasn't a lot of that. My parents, you know, my father had a serious drinking problem. My mother was unhappy because she was married to an alcoholic.
Okay.
And she was on her own 70s journey, you know?
Yeah.
And I think they really didn't. And I adore my mother. She's an excellent grandparent. She's even an excellent mother now, but she was not incredibly attentive. I think I was pretty unhappy as a little kid and had no idea how to deal with that.
Yeah. Well, it's scary. I mean, and like, of course, none of our parents did what they, I mean, most, I would say probably 90% of us walking around the world in our midlife and beyond did not get what we needed in childhood. The same time, as a parent, you could see, because it's it's really scary to have your kid feel sad. There's something that you're immediately like, oh my God, where is it? Like, you have to really like center yourself, and you need to bring yourself into the moment and say, you know, as much as you're saying to them, this is temporary, I understand, you're trying to mirror their feelings back at them. In your mind, you're like, where the fuck is this going? Are they going to be okay the whole time? Are they going to be okay? And I can see how that terror could make parents either avoid it or just not know what the fuck to do with it. Like, try to make it go away, you know, because they didn't have tools. I mean, talk about tools. None of these fucking people had tools. Your mom, my mom, they didn't have anything. Nobody taught them.
Yeah. No, it's true. And my mom was not a teen mother, but she was a mother by 21, 22. What the hell did she know?
That's still, brain's not fully formed. That's still, you know, I don't fucking know. The weighted vest is exacerbating the shoulder issue. Also, as discussed, I just look like an asshole. I stopped in a store with the weighted vest on and thought I was normal. And I was like, I'm not normal. You can't just wear a weighted vest and be in the world.
I feel like that's something you could do in Los Angeles, though.
I mean, I don't know. I was walking around. Our friend Christina Mueller was in town last week, and I was walking around with her, and I was like, she was like, I don't understand how people dress here. And I was like, they only wear athleisure. I've never seen during the day. I've never seen anybody like walk around the streets of Los Angeles unless they're in something that indicates that they're pursuing an athletic life. Like, it's not. I'm taking off I have a t-shirt under my professional shirt. I just had a big work meeting before this, but here's who I really am.
In a ringer tee.
So let me tell you about the update on the eyebrow gel, the new brow. It's working so well that my husband was like, I mean, your eyebrows, it's a lot's happening there. And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, I don't know. It's a little Burt-esque. And I was like, fuck you.
It is not.
They grew in. It is inexplicable why they grow in dark when you use one of these growth serums. They don't grow in. They didn't grow in. Mine didn't grow in blonde or gray. They grew in like dark. I don't have like a coloring on them. They're just like these. Understand that if you're going to grow your brows in, you don't know what you're going to get, friends.
I wonder if mine would come in gray. I have more gray eyebrows than I used to. That's for sure.
I did too. The new ones are all dark.
I got to get the new brow. I wrote about it just today for my post tomorrow because everybody loves that stuff.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. You should have it. You should definitely have it. What else? What else? Did you watch anything this week?
What have I watched? Oh, we watched the Ryan Murphy OJ.
Oh, you went back and watched that.
We went back and watched the OJ, which I had never watched, that series that he did, American Horror Story or whatever it was, American Crime Story.
Yes, that is my favorite Ryan Murphy of all the Ryan Murphys. That is the only one I think is great.
Because Ryan Murphy is deeply flawed
as a storyteller.
He really is. And I don't often enjoy things he does, but this, I agree with you, was really good. Yeah. David Schwimmer was amazing as Robert Kardashian. Amazing. I wouldn't say it gave me a respect for David Schwimmer, but it did give me an appreciation of him.
Underrated. I think David Schwimmer, just going to say it, underrated. I think he's actually kind of a good actor.
The only, like the only bad casting in the whole thing was Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
Because OJ was like famously very charismatic.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and you don't get any of that from Cuba Gooding Jr.
No. And you don't get that, like, there's something so alpha about OJ, you know, that I think it was like broad and big and alpha. I mean, and a murderer, but also, I mean, you don't get that from Cuba Gooding Jr. He doesn't have that presence that's almost like menacing in his masculinity, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, we finished that. And then we have started watching the documentary, I don't know how many parts it is. It's quite long, a documentary about OJ's life.
Oh, amazing. You know what I was thinking about that we didn't talk about? Do you remember Judith Regan? She's still alive.
Yes, okay. I profiled her for Elle magazine.
I had the world's worst interview to be her assistant of all time.
About dodging a bullet.
Oh my! Well, but I was thinking about her excuse. Remember, she did buy and was going to publish OJ's book. If I did it, here's how I would have done it. Whatever the fucking awful title it was, and like she got so much flack for it. I mean, deservedly, right? But I remember it was like a New York Post article, and she was like, "Well, it wasn't my fault because I was on like." She was on some cleanse and she was like, I wasn't in my right mind. Like I had gotten a colonic and was on like the lemon juice, cayenne pepper. Like it was so goopy before its time. But yeah, she basically blamed that decision on her mind not working because she was releasing so many toxins, which I still think is just a fucking amazing, just terrible white woman, like in the top 10. Yeah. Judith fucking Regan.
I wonder what's happened to her. I wonder if she's still publishing books.
Well, I think after that, I mean, because she was just publishing one trash tome after another. And she was so aggressive. And I remember just being in this interview with her and being like, look, I'm aggro, but man, I cannot hold up to this. And I think she was like sort of ran out of town after that. I think people were like, yeah, you shouldn't. That was too bad. You've crossed the line.
Yeah.
I watched the other day, which I'm obsessed with. I've been on a Conan O'Brien kick. I've been on a like let's remember Conan. Have you seen the Conan O'Brien Hot Ones?
No.
Okay. You need to watch it as soon as possible. It is like a masterwork. I mean, you know what Hot Ones is, right?
Yeah, the hot sauce thing.
Yeah, so Hot Ones, if anybody doesn't know, is the YouTube talk show that celebrities go on the show and they test hot sauces while they're being interviewed. And it's such a smart way to disrupt the celebrity profile. Bah, 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 bah. But usually it's becoming a little rote as everything does, you know, it's just like becoming a little expected. And like Gwyneth Paltrow went on and like everyone was like, oh, it was so great. But then actually it was like just a promo for fucking Goop products. Like it was gross. Mm-hmm. And so Conan O'Brien came in and like simultaneously like saved the show and ended it because there will never be as good of an episode as this one. And I can't describe it. You just have to fucking watch it. But it's so interesting because it's somebody grappling with a lot of the things that I'm grappling with, like middle age, relevancy, and how to like promote yourself and your wares. And it is so fucking funny. But anyway, he has a travel show that's just weird. And I forgot how like weird and funny and smart he is.
Yeah. No, he is.
Yeah.
He is. I was never like a watcher of him, you know, but he is kind of, he was, you know, he was one of the first people at The Simpsons back when The Simpsons was genius. Yeah.
Yeah. He's really funny. And the only other thing I really have this week is I went in last week. I'm going to forget what it's called. It's called like FOTO, photo something. I got this 4-part radio frequency treatment where they go inside your cheek to stimulate collagen with like a fucking electric current. I was like, I'm going to die in one of these.
Yeah, this sounds like electrocution risk.
I think it was. I was like, oh, you zapped the inside of my cheek now? I will fucking tell you, Kim, my cheeks are so tight. You could fucking bounce a quarter off this fucking 51-year-old cheek. I don't even understand.
Did it hurt?
It did not hurt. Nothing has ever hurt as much as Morpheus 8. Morpheus 8 was by far the herniest one of these. But I think that like the stimulating of the collagen is the way to go. I mean, someday I'm going to like stop getting this shit and the whole thing's just going to just fall in one day. but it's been interesting to like learn about what they're doing to your skin. That's not, you know, getting cut.
Morpheus 8 sounds like it would hurt.
It hurts so bad. And then also, I told you I had like little pin marks all over my face. I'd been stamped. Like that was bad. And I went to a bad place too. It was like a double thing. I shouldn't have done that. But, you know, what are you going to do? I'm old and living in this. Yeah. And living in this society and, you know, whatever. But I finally went to a doctor who wasn't like, why did it take you so long to come? Like, I finally went to a doctor who was like, you have a nice face.
Yeah, doctors never really, they're rarely like make you feel good about yourself in that respect.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Let's take a quick break from some ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And we're back. I don't know. What else happened to you this week?
What else happened? Well, it got pretty here.
Oh, that's good.
It finally got pretty here. It's a gloriously beautiful day today. There's been a lot of rain, which I think has been affecting my mood.
Okay. Yeah, of course.
But it's nice today and I'm happy about that. I'm happy spring is here. It's Passover.
Oh, yes.
Going to a little Seder tonight.
Oh, good. Friend or family?
Family.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That'll be nice.
Yeah, Passover. It's my favorite Jewish holiday.
Passover is a great holiday. Whenever I've been lucky enough to be invited to a Seder, I've always been like, this is awesome.
it's a good holiday.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's fun. It kind of makes you feel like things are going to get better and that we've been here before.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So I want to tell you that I think you are a genius and I can't believe how much you do Substack every day. I can't believe just every day you get up and you're like, here, I'm going to make a Substack and you don't die.
I think it's so funny that you're having, I'm not funny. I think it's very funny, weird that you're having all these struggles with Substack because you're so fucking productive. You can just sit down and bang something out. And I don't know why you're not banging shit out.
I'm shy.
Well, Substack is not for the shy, but I also don't believe you're shy.
No, I'm Substack shy and I don't know what it is either. And like, this is a season. This is my pushing myself out of my comfort zone season. This is my era of this. This is like get uncomfortable era. Yeah, I'm trying on Substack and I'm like, I don't know. Here, hit send. What's going to happen now? Fucking panic.
But that's kind of the good thing about it because then in a day it's over. In a day, you got a new thing to post.
Oh, God, that's so you. Even nice Christina at Substack was like, you know, you have to post a little bit on here to like, if you're going to be here, you got to do something with it. And I was like, ah.
Oh, I think you're going to settle into it and you're going to be really happy with it.
I hope so. Kimberly Harrington is like, help. She like just sent me, but she was like, look, it's not that fucking hard. And she sent me a bunch of content ideas. God love her. She was like, like basically shut the fuck up. Why do you make everything harder than it has to be?
But I will tell you like on Thursdays, I always have something like an essay or something behind the paywall on Thursdays. And every week lately, I don't know what it's going to be.
Yeah. How do you generate work? Like, it's not even like I have no ideas, but it's like, which one out of this fucking tornado that is my brain, I'm making a swirling motion, which one, how do I just pull one out, you know?
Now she's making an extracting motion.
Oh, I miss you. I miss being in your presence.
I know. I miss you too. It's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing. The cross country long distance friendship. It's a whole fucking thing.
It's all I have lately. I mean, I feel like all the people I really love are out there.
I know. And you know, like, it's weird because there's different times of your life where like social, like in-person social life just feels really hard. Like right now it feels really hard because most of the people I love are not in the place I am. But, you know, even here, it just feels hard to schedule with work and everything else. But you know what else is really hard to have a social life is when you're 13.
I bet.
Like, and I think that it makes us weird only talking to each other through screens and with screens. Like my kid was like, "Why nobody wants to hang out with me?" And I was like, 13-year-olds don't hang out. They have no agency. They have no cars. Yeah. Like they can't. And Charlotte, I was like, who do you think's hanging out? How do you think they got there? Like it's really hard.
I grew up in the suburbs and we all had bikes and we all rode our bikes everywhere to each other's houses, but that type of freedom doesn't exist for children anymore.
No, it doesn't exist for children. And I'm sure, I mean, maybe in New York, the kids just like walk to each other's houses, but like, I don't know. I can't let Charlotte like walk 2 miles along the 3 miles along the 101 freeway to get to their friend, you know, because also they're in a magnet school. So everybody's like from farther away. So anyway, right. So I'm like, listen, you are about to have more in-person social time that is going to, you know, help you not have such distorted thinking because you're going to be in person with people and you're going to have real evidence of like, you know, of people liking you and just engagement that gets you out of your head so soon. High school, college, like you're going to start seeing people all the time. But it's hard. It's impossible to explain.
Yeah. Because you just want to see your friends. Your friends are never more important to you than they are when you're young.
Exactly. Shall we get into some listener questions?
Why not?
Okay. First question. Thank you, everybody, for sending these in, by the way. We really appreciate it. They say these are on our Facebook page. If anybody's curious and ever wants to ask us a question, join our Facebook page and you can ask us there. You can also send them to us via email at our email address, which is in the show notes, or you can also send us a DM, though that might get lost, but you can try. Okay. DM on Instagram. Okay. They say to reapply sunscreen. So from fresh face to leaving the house, what are the layers? Vitamin C serum, snail mucin, moisturizer, makeup, sunscreen, etc. What is the order of application? And do you just reapply it on top of makeup? How often do you really need to apply it? Reapply it.
Well, you were probably at this point better equipped to answer this question. I like put on face oil when I wake up in the morning before I walk the dog. Mm-hmm. And then it's an hour or two before I shower. I wake up in the morning and do work before I shower. And so the face oil gets to like sink in really well. Then after I shower, I just put on the snail mucin and the sunscreen and then makeup.
I similarly, when I wake up, I put some kind of serum on my face. I have some SkinCeuticals thing I've been trying out that I like, or I use a vitamin C serum. Like when I wake up, maybe I'll splash some water on my face and then I'll put a serum on my face. I'll come up, I'll make breakfast. Then after I drop the kid off and I take a shower, then I put the snail serum on, or maybe I'll do it at night. I don't know. And then I put sunscreen over that. And then I don't really reapply sunscreen unless like I'm then going out, like I went out for a walk around noon the other day and I was like, okay, I need to reapply sunscreen. I just throw it on top of it. But if you're indoors most of the day, you don't need to reapply sunscreen, like unless you're going to the beach or something. And if you're going to the beach or you're going for a long walk, like somebody asked, what do I do about my makeup? You're not usually wearing makeup for those things. And if you are, just throw sunscreen on top of it. It doesn't matter. I think the drunk elephant lady just mushes all her products around. And I was like, once I heard that, I was like, oh, so nothing matters.
Yeah, no, the layering. You know, I'm sure if there is an order, I'm doing it wrong. But I'm a big believer in the squishing products together.
Yes, yes. Okay, question two. Is there a mineral sunscreen for the face that doesn't leave a whitish cast? Do you know? I know the answer to this. Sorry, I know these answers.
No, go.
Actually, so there's Peter. So most mineral sunscreens, because they're made of zinc, and I forget the other ingredient, but the two minerals that like actually they can't dissolve the whiteness in any kind of liquid or water. That's why they leave a white cast. They're literally made out of those minerals. how you counteract that is by getting a slightly tinted mineral sunscreen. Peter Thomas Roth makes a really good one. I think it's Peter Thomas Roth. Did I make that up? Is that a real person?
Yeah, no, that's a real person.
Okay. That one I just reviewed and that one was really, really good. That was my number one pick in my tinted sunscreen roundup I did a couple, like last month. Glow Screen is a chemical sunscreen, but any sort of mineral sunscreen with a tint is not going to leave a white cast. That's what I would say. Okay. Swimsuit recs that are supportive and stylish, please.
Oh,
I have no fucking...
Eventually I will do a Substack post on swimsuits. I try to do one every year. Sometimes I let myself not do it because I hate it so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Swimsuits are just hard. I just don't wear a swimsuit anymore. That's my solution.
Wait, what do you wear?
I just don't go in the water.
Okay, no, that is not a solution. That is an anti-solution. I really have no idea how to answer this question, though. I have my eye on, and I'm finally going to invest in, Becklina has a suit that is kind of like a shorts situation that all the reviews say is really supportive. It's just like a halter, black halter top. And then it's like a full one piece suit, but it's like with little shorts. And I was like, that looks cute, like almost like an old timey wrestler's outfit. And I was like, that could work. But, you know, this is the thing about fucking bathing suits. We've talked about it before. Put a bathing suit on your body and get in the water. Don't listen to Kim. You have to just do it because you're going to be dead someday and you're going to regret. What's the Anne Lamott thing? Like, I forget, who cares? But you're going to regret the years that you had an able body and didn't allow it to be out in the sun and out in the water. It doesn't matter.
And yet.
I know. And yet. I know. And yet. I know. I know. What's a good shoe to run around the city in during the spring?
I just wear sneakers now. I just wear my sneakers all the time.
Okay. I mean, which sneakers though?
I have some Adidas Gazelles that are pretty old. They're platforms.
Okay.
I wear them. And then I have a pair of Nikes. I forget what they're called. I no longer wear clogs unless they're by this company called Magnified, because Magnified puts little rubber inserts in the clogs so that they don't hurt your feet when you walk in them.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, you know, so if this was 3 years ago, I would have said clogs are the perfect shoe to walk around the city in, but they no longer are for me. But that's a really good question.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw that question today. It was asked by Caroline Wexler, who I actually knew a little.
Oh, yeah. Me too. I love Caroline. Hi.
So hi, Caroline.
Hi, Caroline.
Sorry we're so unhelpful.
I don't know. Like today I'm wearing like Tevas and socks. Like, I don't know what the fuck we're supposed to wear. I really need, there's another question here, a sandal that's still cute, but you can walk around in all day without blisters. I would like to get away from Birkenstocks and I don't know where to go. And this is unusual for me because I usually know what to do.
There's a brand called Beek, B-E-E-K. They make cute sandals that are pretty comfortable.
I want a pair of cute sandals and I also want a little tiny bit of like a heel. Like I don't want to just be totally flat to the ground.
I know. I know.
I feel like that's over though. I tried on some heels. I was like, oh, when I go out on book tour, I'll wear these 4-inch heels. Like what the fuck?
Remember just buying shit, like being like, oh, I'll get this dress. It's amazing. And then not realizing you have no occasions to ever wear this dress in your life.
Oh, I do know that. I mean, I have a whole closet full of just that. All I want is to be able to wear things. Like I do have a very big fantasy life about the places I will wear things to that I'm actually never going to, and nor would I really want to go to if I was offered. So it's really, really fun. Any good books you've been reading or something you're looking forward to reading?
I think I'm going to read Zadie Smith, The Fraud. It's about a 19th century criminal trial in which the defendant was accused of impersonating a nobleman. And it has a lot that I like. Like I like British culture. I like fancy British culture.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun, actually. I love that. I love that. I am reading right now a bunch of books that are mostly boring, but not boring. I'm not reading boring books, but I'm not like, they're not, I'm reading that Come As You Are book about sex with finding reclaiming sex with a partner by that sex expert. Cause I actually really want to have her on the show. Forgetting.
Oh,
her
my
name.
My shrink told me to read that book.
Yeah. It's really, really good. It's really good. And then I'm reading, the Lives of Teenagers, Secret Lives of Teenagers, Lisa Darmore. And then I'm also reading The Martyr, which is a great novel. Everybody should read. I'm looking forward to The Memo coming out, which is our friend Laura Meckling's book, which is coming out in June, I think June 17th, somewhere around there, June 18th, something in there. I'm really excited about that novel. And I don't know. I'm like reading a lot of things, but I'm like, I'm bouncing around everything, you know?
How often do you start a book and not finish it?
Oh, I mean, like every day.
Like, yeah,
I just buy books. I have so many fucking books in this house, and you know, 50% of them are not read.
I feel better then.
Yeah, don't feel
like
bad.
I have books that I loved that I didn't finish.
Yeah, no, I will finish a book by a friend. If it's a friend's book, I will. Even if I don't like it, I will force my way through it. Like I really try to read my friends' books, and sometimes I mean, often that's a pleasure and a delight. But I was on a real novel kick at the beginning of the year. And then I just got, again, my consistency problem. I got taken off it. Okay. This is an interesting question. With Jen's book coming out, I'm curious about Kim's experience. How has ambition changed over the last few years or so for you? I think that's what they're saying. I've heard you say, Kim, you wouldn't want the high pressure career anymore. What do you want at this age?
I think my ambitions aren't around work.
Yeah.
They're just not around work. I want to continue to do this podcast forever. Yeah. I want to do my Substack. I make a living off of my Substack, and that's essential.
And you're so good at it.
Thank you. But I don't have huge ambitions to be like, you know, I'm going to make a name for myself. I mean, that kind of thinking, I think, changes when you're in your 50s and 60s anyway. You've made the name for yourself you're going to make, probably, not that you can't still do something.
Yeah, I can see that. Like, I you're 9 years older than me, and I think that I'm still like really fighting some things out. I think that there's a lot of things I think you're more at peace with than I am in the conversations we've had around this, which is good. I mean, which is amazing. And I hope to get there someday. I think you figured out a formula for you that really works around work and gives you enough so that you can focus on your life.
Yeah. I mean, I do wish I had that oversubscribed feeling that you frequently describe, you know? Especially yeah. Lately when you've just got so much going on. I miss that feeling. I do miss that feeling of having so much going on and barely being able to contain it. You know, yeah. Bodies at rest remain at rest, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes that does bother me. I think I would be doing better if I had if I actually was a little more overbooked.
Yeah. I think so. I think it's just hard to find that happy middle, right? Because if your ego's not seeking anything out anymore, if work isn't about like placating some like, or scratching some ego itch, you know, it's like, what does work then become? And what does ambition then become? I mean, I hope that my ambition in the next couple of years continues to be projects I love, but also becomes about things like making sure my body gets to stay in motion and making yes. sure that I see my friends and making sure I'm experiencing new things in life and that my life has the kind of balance that's just not locked inside, you know, in my literally inside my house working, but also literally inside my head all the fucking time. I want to think about other people more, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's any plans for a Jen book tour this summer? Speaking of getting out in the world. Yes, we are. These are all happening, and I'll have more news soon, but I will be in New York for a couple of events. I will be in Seattle. I will be in Philly. We will be in Philly. And I don't know what else I'm going to do, to be honest. I think this might be a little mini tour. It's my book comes out 2 days before my kid graduates eighth grade. And so it's kind of, there's a lot of conflict and I have to make a big choice about prioritizing what's important, speaking of, and what's important is watching my kid graduate eighth grade. So it's going to be a little bit of a truncated tour, I think, but there will still be some fun and surprises.
That's cool. You're going to Seattle.
I know. I am going to Seattle and this has not been announced yet. I guess I shouldn't announce who I'm talking with, but I'm very, very excited. That's not true. I've been to Seattle once.
Is it who I think you might be talking with?
I think probably, maybe not. I think maybe it's someone. Well, you might. I think you would have a couple of guesses and one of them would be correct. Oh God, I don't know why they let us on the air. Okay. okay. Best gray taupe eyebrow pencil for those of us who love wearing our natural silver and gray hair. Even better if it's an actual pencil I can sharpen that's eco-friendly and not another plastic tube with hardly any pigment called an eyebrow pencil. I actually just did a story on eyebrow gels, which is not what you're talking about, but I came across a bunch of eyebrow pencils in that. And I think Jones Road is really makes a good eyebrow pencil.
I was about to say, and those are a pencil.
Those are definitely a pencil. Yes. I mean, you can get their eyebrow gel, but the eyebrow pencil is a pencil. It's thick, but the tip of it is precise. The one annoying thing is that it's a weird size, so you do have to buy the sharpener from them, but at least then you do have a pencil and they last forever. Okay. Did you have writer's block? And if you did, how did you break out of it?
I don't know that I've ever had something I would call writer's block, even when I was trying to work on my book and having a hard time with it. It didn't feel like writer's block, you know, it just felt like writer's lackadaisical attitude.
Or like writer's not ready. Like you know, the piece isn't ready. The idea is not fully formed. I think I read this somewhere, but it's also something I do. So if somebody else said this, please forgive me if I'm copying them. When I am really, really blocked and I have to write, I read.
Mm-hmm.
I read writers that sort of spark something in me, you know, like writers that I know whose voice is so strong that you can just feel their writing. Like Samantha Irby is one, Megan Steelstra is another, that you're just, their writing kind of leaps off the page and it makes you kind of want to be writing. It stimulates your brain in some way. Or I just read like books I really like that are similar to what I want to write. And it just, I find that reading just really helps a lot. I think reading helps writer's block more than anything I've ever seen, because certainly not sitting in front of the page and being like, why can't I do this? What the fuck? What's happening?
Yeah.
That does not help.
No. Even if you sit down and you just, I mean, my solution when I can't write is just to spew anything.
Yeah, that's also a good one, because you will eventually get there.
Or you'll see like the bones of a good piece, like in all your spew. You may not get anything all that valuable out of it, but it gets things going.
It gets things going. I think that's true. And also, but just being like, you know what, today's maybe not going to be the day. Like,
yeah.
today's not the day, and being really nice to yourself and not beating yourself up, because I think that the fear that you're in writer's block makes the writer's block so much worse, you know, like not treating it like it's a huge problem, just being like, all right, well, not today, tomorrow, maybe.
Well, you know, some writers, you know, have written a bit about like the whole idea of the muse, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, whether or not you really believe in a muse, you know, I do feel like there are days when it's moving through you and days when it really isn't.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, writing is all about timing, right? It's like a confluence of things just coming together. I mean, it feels magical in some ways, because also the things you would write one day are not the things you would write the next day. It's like, it's amazing how much it captures just a specific moment in time. I already know that the book that I am about to put out in the world, I could not write today. It would not be the same book, because I've lived different experiences since then. So just like accepting like, this is what I can do today on this day with the information I have, and just trying to like, and not forcing it. That's, I don't think you should force it.
Yeah, you can't force it.
All right, listen, everybody hates it when we do this, but it is 50 minutes. We have this is absolutely a show.
We've absolutely made an episode.
Look, and this is the thing. It's not because this is painful for us. It's because we just never know what we're going to talk about. So I'm sorry to that one listener who hates this, but we're just shocked. We're legitimately surprised.
No, we went 50 minutes. It's amazing.
It's amazing. Thanks for listening to Everything Is Fine. We are your hosts. I'm Jen Romolini.
And I'm Kim France.
If you like the show, please rate and review it across the platforms, especially Apple Podcasts. Apple Podcasts has done many funky things to podcasters. It's not that interesting, but if you want to look it up, you can. It really helps people find the show if you review it, and it makes a difference. If you want to support the production of the show and help us pay our editor, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/everythingisfine. It's $3 over there. If you want to follow Kim on her Substack, her excellent Substack, she's at kimfrance.substack.com. If you want to follow me on my sporadic and crazy Substack, it's jenromolini.substack.com. The show is, you can find us on social media. We're on Facebook with a private and robust Facebook group. We're on Instagram at EIF Podcast. The show is mixed and edited by the wonderful Natalie Rivera, who shows up for us every week. Thank you, Natalie. And we will be back again next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.